Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update right here on News Talk 870. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and you can always contact me direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the radio station for working to make it happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Good.
Been a little chilly out there in the morning,
but I like it.
Yeah, I'll take it over precipitation.
Snow.
But I
snow.
Yeah,
snow.
Stop. But I still got houses to show. You know, it's crazy. I was thinking earlier this week, I saw a sod truck go by one morning. It's 23 degrees, and they're still laying sod down to get some of these commercial buildings and new constructions done. It's probably not ideal, but
as long as the ground isn't frozen, they can do that though, right?
Yes, I think they were hoping for those early afternoons when it had warmed up a little bit. And as always, we have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mike Denslow from Home Street. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Just getting ahead for Christmas, getting a lot of shopping done, and hopefully you'll be ready there, you know, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we're running out of days. That's for certain. So, yeah.
My wife was done in October.
Oh, you guys are one of those. So that takes the pressure off. I cannot say that for sure. Well, we always do. One thing we can be for sure about, we always do like to start off with a crazy celebrity real estate story. And, man, I never really thought about this till I saw the news story, but on Realtor.com, this is an estate that was built in 97 down in Arizona, just outside of Scottsdale. And it was owned by Robert Husselman, who was the inventor of the Red Solo Cup. Never thought about that being a huge profit, but when I really started to look at it, I'm like, yeah, I think millions and millions of those had been sold. So he had taken some of the profits from that company. He retired back in 2006 and built a 6-bedroom, 8-bathroom, 11,000-square-foot estate on 16 acres in Scottsdale. Now, last time I checked, the property value of land around Scottsdale was pretty pricey, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. We've been down there a few times, and I can't imagine what 16 acres went for.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible if you check out the pictures of this online. Detached 2-bedroom guest house. And yeah, it's just an incredible property with lots of outdoor living space. So that thing is on the market right now for $12.5 million. So
I thought you were going to say 12.5 million solo cups.
12.5 million solo cups. Yeah. So there you go. That is our crazy celebrity real estate story of the week. So one of the things Mike and I always do is we kind of take a look at, hey, what's going on in the real estate world? What are people talking about? And how can we relate that to the local market in Tri-Cities? And you know, as I was going out this week and talking to some different buyers and talking to some people, I had one of my agents come in, and we were having a meeting and we talked, and the agent said, she said, geez, I wish that HGTV just wasn't so popular. And so I said to her, well, what do you mean by that? What's going on? And she goes, well, every single house I show somebody, they want to do a Joanna Gaines makeover on it in the next 2.5 weeks from Fixer Upper and make it look like the most gorgeous country farmhouse we've ever seen. And they can't find a contractor to do that. The bids are all coming back way too high. So I was talking to Mike about this and we thought about it. And I said, okay, so let's do a show on what happens on HGTV that is not real life, that doesn't happen in our local market. So we started to put together a list of that. We thought that'd be a fun show. And I must admit, some of those shows I do watch. At times, I don't know why. My wife, I'll have one up, and my wife will be like, why are you watching Million Dollar Listing? Didn't you just do that all day today? But there are some things about it that I do find entertaining. So we put together a list, and the number one thing that I wrote down on the list that I don't see happen in real life, but happens quite frequently on HGTV, is here in our local market, we don't have $35,000 open houses.
And what does that even mean?
Well, Mike, let me tell you, I took some notes as I was preparing for the show. And that means that, for instance, if there's a pool at the house that you're selling, that you would have at your open house synchronized swimmers doing a performance in the pool during the open house. You would also have valet parking available for the agents and people coming to the open house.
Or maybe a DJ.
A DJ. Oh. There was also a specialty tequila shot bar, along with airbrushed tattoos at the party.
So this is for lottery winners, I take it.
It is for TV, I will tell you that much. So I then wrote some notes and just said that because of average sales prices, maybe that was for that particular one was for a $7 million property. And so when you take a look at commission structures and rates there, you were looking at still a risky proposition. The agents that put that on, assuming that all of this was true that we're seeing on the TV episode, they're potentially looking at a $250,000 commission. So potentially then maybe an 11% expenditure for the right open house would be okay for that market. So then you kind of break that down a little bit, work backwards. And if you, say, are having a $500,000 sale in Tri-Cities and you work the numbers backwards, you're probably not even going to make a $35,000 commission. So you'd be going backwards by approximately $20,000.
And that would explain why a lot of open houses have cookies and bottled water.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's
and
a little,
balloons.
So it's a little bit different, but I will say there are some creative ones that happen. There are some agents in our market that are phenomenal cooks, like probably could have been a chef instead of an agent. So occasionally there'll be some famous barbecue open houses, and they'll host some prizes. You might see some gift certificates to some local restaurants. You also might see some vacation getaways. And so there are incentives that you'll see come out for those, but they're just not going to be $35,000 open houses.
It's basically to scale.
It is to scale. Now, what happens sometimes, though, is people forget about that. And so they might see those things on TV and then ask for something similar in this market. So you kind of have to work through those numbers with clients and determine how many of those folks will show up, how many of those folks actually sell a large number of homes in the Tri-Cities, and then just kind of work through what works best for your local market. And that's why we really go back to real estate. In many cases, is a local game when you're looking at what are your traditions, what's going on in your local market. The next point that I wrote down, and this one is really, really frustrating for me to watch on these shows sometimes, and I put down number two, I put down negotiating multiple offers outside of what you told your clients you were going to do for them. So many times in these shows, you will see a offer come in, and you'll then see the agent sit down at a restaurant with the client and say, hey, they put in an initial offer of $1.5 million. We were asking $2 million. So the client, he'll sit down with the client and say, well, what do you think we should do? And the client will say, well, 1.5 is not going to work for me. I really would be happy with 1.7. That's what I want to counter at, is 1.7. So let's make that counter to him and see if we can put this deal together. Well, then what will happen is you'll see the agent say, I'm going to step outside for a second. You'll see the agent step outside, usually onto the sidewalk on the street. It's either like in New York or Miami or LA. And they'll have just talked to their client, and they'll call the other agent, and they'll say, hey, we got your offer of 1.5. My seller's insulted. They're not willing to go down to 1.5. We're listed at $2 million. But I tell you what, I talked to my seller, and I got him to come down to 1.8. And so if you do 1.8, it's good. And you're like, wait a minute. I just saw you at the table talking to your client, and you were going to counter at 1.7. So on the TV show, they make it look like the agent took the liberty to go out and make his own random counteroffer to the client. Risky in many cases, because what the agent is effectively doing at that point, that client could walk away. Mm-hmm. 1.8 might not even be a number the buyer's looking at. And the way it always plays out on TV is that the buyer magically comes back and says, well, we can't do 1.8, but we'll do 1.75. The agent goes back into the restaurant and says, hey, guess what? I didn't get you 1.7 that you originally wanted to counter at. I got you 1.75. And everybody's excited and happy. In real life, though, an agent, I hope, and I can tell you that's definitely not the case with us, an agent is not going to take the liberties to make counteroffers what they feel like outside of what they've discussed with their client. It's portrayed like that on TV.
Isn't that illegal?
It is. And so what's going to happen then is they would be facing, in the state of Washington, they would be facing a licensing violation and risk potentially losing their license. Now, the difference being, have you discussed that with your client? That's the strategy you're using, and you have your client's blessing. Then you go out and do that. But if that is outside of the strategy that your client has advised you to do, that happens on TV, doesn't happen in the local Tri-Cities market with the Kenmore team. So these were just a couple of the items we wrote down on what happens on HGTV that doesn't happen in the Tri-Cities. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow with Home Street about what's going on the lending world. We're going to talk a little bit more about what goes on HGTV that doesn't happen in real life.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here kind of going over some of the lighter side of real estate, taking a look at some of the more popular shows on HGTV, which for some people is very entertaining. They have a huge base of viewers. It's really interesting to take a look at some of it. But from a different perspective, I kind of dug in there a little bit, and we talked a little bit about what happens on HGTV that generally doesn't happen in the Tri-Cities. But before we get back to kind of the lighter side and what's going on there, we always like to check in with Mike Denslow at Home Street. A big part of our home purchasing process and what goes on is the money to buy these houses. And Mike navigates that extremely, extremely well and professionally for our clients. So, Mike, what's going on in the lending world?
Well, big thing this week is the conventional loan limits were raised. It was 417 for a long time, 417,000, then it was raised up to just over 424,000, and they just announced this week that it's going to 453,000, which is a big jump. It doesn't affect this market as much, but it still will. I mean, there will be a decent amount of sales in the upper fours into the 500s where that will affect where that loan limit is. And basically, if you wanted to buy a $600,000-$800,000 house and put 20% down, you know, you could still do a jumbo loan. But this is the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac guidelines are a lot simpler to follow. And that's why the conventional loan limit is a good idea to be trying to hit. The other thing is Washington State Housing and Finance Commission relaxed their debt to income ratio numbers. And so it'll be a little bit easier for some people that are a little tight on debt to income to get into homes. And that's with the main program we use around here is called Home Advantage, which helps out low income people with down payment assistance to get into homes. Those are kind of the big things of this week. Working with your office here the last couple of weeks, you know, we had an interesting story that we just got wrapped up, and that was a verification of employment for employees that were working in this country, but they were the highest people at their level in this country. So we actually had to go to headquarters, and that was not in the United States. And so, you know, working with the listing agent and the clients, we eventually got that. But it was, you know, it was a challenge because, you know, you're sending a verification of employment form to a non-English speaking country and trying to get them to fill out the form correctly. And
yeah. And what's really interesting about that, you know, we talked a little bit about stuff, you know, that happens on HGTV that doesn't happen in Tri-Cities. Well, we do see on those shows with higher priced properties, and now with the global economy, it's not unheard of for folks to be working for a corporation that is outside of the U.S. And so, I mean, that wasn't just your run-of-the-mill deal. You really had to work on that one, Mike, a little outside the box there.
Yeah, and, you know, when I first talked to him, I brought it up, and I said, okay, you think there's going to be any problem with this? And, oh, no, no problem. And then, if you have a local company or you're working at Hanford or something like that, I mean, they see these forms all the time. People are buying houses all the time. No big deal. But if you're in Asia, how often do you see someone getting a mortgage in the United States where you have to fill out the form? So just added a layer of complexity. We kept the communication up with all sides, and we were able to get the docs out this past week and get it closed up. So everyone ended up happy.
Awesome, Mike. Well, that's great. Well, thanks for all your extra work on those deals and taking care of that. And, you know, I was reading last week that the median first-time purchase or the median home price in the U.S. had reached $400,000 for the first time. And so it's not just Tri-Cities that has had a lot of this appreciation. Nationwide we have. So I'm glad to hear you say that they're also raising those loan limits, which kind of corresponds to what's naturally happening in the market.
And what's needed, yeah.
If that's new pricing structure that we're headed towards with whether it be appreciation or inflation, those are things we need to get those deals done to match up to it. So good to hear that those regulations are starting to match up there.
And now, I mean, we talked about the boring, you know, financial stuff. Let's get back to Property Brothers and House Hunters.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we do that, I'll mix in some local property that you can buy right now. So brand new construction up in Summit View, 86104 Summit View. This is an absolutely beautiful 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler. Just a fantastic, fantastic property built by Royal Holland Homes. So this was really designed and crafted with kind of a theme that they call the California bungalow. So big front porch, nice open sight lines, big entertaining open area for the family. Absolutely super well done, very handcrafted. Awesome, awesome property. That's brand new construction in Summit View, Rambler, and that's coming in at $365,000. So really, really nice opportunity to get into that neighborhood. Pick number two, 2720 South Dennis Place in Kennewick. This is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhouse. Great location, 1,251 square feet, open concept living room, big kitchen with an island and breakfast bar. Then you have split bedroom design, master suite has its own walk-in closet, dual sink vanity, large shower. This is a really, really great low maintenance place, and that's coming in at $205,000. So really, really nice property there. And then pick number three, 13605 South Mesa. This is out in Kennewick by Cottonwood Springs. This is a custom, almost brand new 4-bedroom, 4-bath with an office, stucco home. And it's on 2.5 acres out there. 2,800 square feet. Really, really nice curb appeal. Great room concept with a big stone fireplace, wood look tile floors, 12-foot ceilings. Really an estate type shape house, absolutely phenomenal place, and that's coming in at $550,000. So kind of one in each different pricing category we got there, but there's still some great inventory out there. It's been cold, but it's still been very, very convenient to look at homes. And right now, our market has stayed, because the weather has been so good seasonally, our market has stayed very, very busy. Mike and I were talking about numbers before the show. And, you know, loan closings in December, way up over there with him and his team. Number of sales and pendings on our team staying very, very steady with some of the seasonally adjusted highs. So we're going to finish the year way up again, and there's still, we have a lot of buyers looking. So if you've thought about putting your home on the market but you're concerned about the holidays, it is not too early to be thinking about that.
And don't be too concerned with what you see on HGTV, right?
Yes, on HGTV, because we're going to relate that back to some real life scenarios. So one of the things that we wrote down as Mike and I were preparing for the show, and Mike gave me this point, and we talked about, was that on House Hunters. A lot of times you see on House Hunters a 30-minute episode, and they only really look at three houses. And one of the things that Mike pointed out that a lot of times we don't do is in that initial conversation, you have that TV drama where the husband says, I would like a traditional style condo, and the wife is like, I would like a modern detached house. Okay, they generally are not that far off in their criteria, and then you show them only three homes and then make an offer on one of those three. What that's doing is really, really oversimplifying that process. And the only thing I do like about that setup, though, is that initial consultation meeting. So when you do look at that, that is very, very important. And so one of the things we're always doing is taking the good, the TV, and then what's true. Well, having that initial consultation, a lot of times they'll show it at a restaurant or they're out on a beach if it's House Hunters International. We like to do a lot of those appointments at our office. We have a very specific buyer's guide that we like to go through with the clients. But they get that part right. That's one of the things that's right. When you sit down with your agent and you talk about those needs, and you talk about your budget, and having that budget number is, we talk about, have you met with Mike yet over at Home Street? Do you have a really good feeling on where you're at with that financing? And so that part is correct, and we love that part. And so I wrote down here the good points about it is that we're having that consultation, and then we start to narrow things down from there. And we probably won't be able to do it with three houses. Mike, we might need to show them five.
They do that on Tiny House Hunting, too.
They do that on Tiny House Nation.
They show them three, and then they have to, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Same type of thing. So they're condensing that in there a lot of times for time. Mm-hmm. The other thing that happens on HGTV that I put down, that you miss a lot of what goes on, and that is the renovations. When you look at a show like Fixer Upper, that's Chip and Joanna Gaines, they do a great job with that. And actually, what you miss on that show can sometimes be picked up with further investigation. So, for instance, my wife, who's also in the business with us and runs a big portion of the Kenmore team, she got their book, Chip and Joanna Gaines, and it was a fantastic book and some great things in there. When you have time to sit down and read hours and hours of content, then you'll see the background and say, okay, here's how they got their start. Here's when Chip was buying houses and flipping houses in Waco and purchasing houses around Baylor and around the college. So you get that story, and you then start to see, okay, here's TV, and then here's the reality of their background, which is actually a fantastic read and a really great background to a real estate story.
You know, Lance, maybe we should have your wife on the show.
Oh, gosh, Mike, I tell you what, and I know you bugged her about that last week. And as much as she's read these books and done the research and is super knowledgeable, more than me on a lot of those things, I believe she ran the other direction and flat out refused to be on the show. So I'm glad you're giving her a hard time about that. But one of the things they don't show is the length of time required for those renovations. And it's not just one or two people you're interacting with. If you really pay attention to the background details, you'll see the crews working in the background, and you'll see the different subcontractors' vans barely in the corner of the screen parked out on the street. Who's interacting with all of those people? That part's never on the show. And so there's steps missing. So pay attention to some of that the next time you're able to watch HGTV and see that. I will tell you, I had a lot of fun prepping for this show and taking the notes about that and talking to Mike about it. And so one of the things we'll be really good about is telling you what's reality in the Tri-City market versus what you're seeing on some of these shows, and that's our job. And I will tell you, it's probably 40% reality, 60% Lance Kenmore's really questioning what's going on there and how many laws you're breaking.
60% would grow your front yard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said before, the market is still really busy. If you're thinking about selling between now and Christmas and getting ready to maybe be ready for the first of the year, I mean, I tell you what, if we can keep that white stuff away and with inventory levels the way they are, even if we can't, we're still setting ourselves up for another very, very robust January. If you're thinking about doing that, please feel free to give us a call. We can get you on the appointment books and get you in there. You can also go to kenmoreteam.com and send us a message. Mike, on the financing side, for people to get ready to purchase, how can they get a hold of you at Home Street?
Direct line is 572-3651.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.